Hello, 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 Power Kids, and welcome to another Power Kid podcast. Guys, every episode, it is my honor, joy, and privilege to bring you conversations with great people from all over the world making great things for kids. And today, I have a very special guest for us, Kevin Daniels. Let me introduce you to Kevin. He is the president and co-founder of Fun in Motion Toys. They are a four-time Toy of the Year finalist with hits like Spinballs, Shishibo, Wandini, Mosey Flow Rings, and their new offering, Cubindi, and many more that we're going to talk about later in the show. They have a philosophy of creating mesmerizing toys that encourage movement and activities that stimulate the mind and the body for hours of fun. And let me tell you, they certainly do that around here in my family. Kevin, welcome to the show. This is very exciting.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
100%, Kevin. Thanks for taking the time and speaking to the toy audience here. I have watched Fun in Motion grow, especially at Specialty, for many, many years now, always intrigued about the way that you present your product, the way that you demonstrate your product, whether it's a live demonstration or it is on video in the stores. I think that's very important to you, and it's a great way to get your product out there. So I'm just excited about talking to you today. But let's start where we always start. How did you come to be involved in the toy and game industry?
That is a great question. And actually, when I do tell people about our story, it starts with the fact that we had no intentions of starting a toy company. that wasn't really the plan. It was just Jimmy, my business partner, who's not on, unfortunately, wasn't able to make it. But he and I were both in an activity that we enjoy doing. And that's what motivated us to start producing a product. And again, never really thought we were moving to make a toy company. But that first toy was Spinballs, and it was an activity called Poi, which is a ball on a string. And it was something that we really enjoyed doing. He was teaching it. I wanted to learn it. And we were at a youth center where he was teaching. I was bringing my kids to go skateboard, which I used to do with them a lot. And he happened to be there, and I took classes, and we went out to the beach one time with the class. And we made little ones with tennis balls, with glow bracelets on a string that we handmade. And we had like 50 pair out on the beach. And people just seemed to really love it. And then I kind of got a pair that were available, which were hard to find. They were expensive. They were hard. You could get a black eye if you hit yourself with them. And they weren't very durable. The lights would turn off. So putting two and two together, we're like, wow, people really like this, but it's not available, accessible, durable, affordable, etc. And we're like, we should try to do that ourselves. So we did. We ended up making a TV ad, doing a direct response TV ad. That went okay. We got a license with a big as seen on TV company. They came back to us and it was doing okay. But then they decided, you know what? The metrics aren't quite what we'd like them to be. Why don't you guys take this back? Which was a turning point. We were like, okay, what are we going to do? We're going to give up on this, or are we going to keep going? So that motivated us to start a toy company, essentially. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So tell me about the roots of, you called it Poi. Of course, that was what spun off into Spinballs. Is there some sort of historical context around Poi, or that ability or that skill that is learned in a particular culture? What's the history there?
Yeah, there's a great story behind it. It comes from the Maori people of New Zealand. So the indigenous people from New Zealand would do poi, which is a ball on a string. That's what poi means in Maori. And, you know, hundreds of years ago, it was like a celebration that the women would do for performance, and the men would use for strength training, for using weapons, for hunting and things like that. So it has a cool history and story. But the modern poi is something like what we do is LED. Has different light modes. Ours is rechargeable. It didn't used to be. We were able to upgrade that. And like with all of our toys, when we made these, it was something we wanted to see out there. And we're never satisfied. Like originally there were batteries and we weren't happy with that because, you know, that's not great when people have to replace batteries. It's unnecessary expense, plus the waste of batteries in the landfills and all that. Now the technology is where we can do USB rechargeable. So all of our LED products are that. So we feel better about it. But yes, there's definitely a great history of Poi. And it's wonderful for physical mental benefits, which is one of the motivations behind it. Was we thought this was an activity that was more college age and kids would love it. They're just not aware of it. And now it's something that kids and adults can do. So physical, mental benefits like, you know, just the coordination, flexibility, dexterity, there's rhythm to it. You could do it with music. So it's a really fun activity that we still want to see grow. So we're not done yet with that. But our fortunately or unfortunately, we've been deviated by all these other things that have happened, including Shishibo, which is a great deviation. So we're not complaining.
Right. Yeah, a deviation, but still in that same vein of it's a beautiful thing that's fun to play with and it's fun to watch someone play with. I think that's a common thread that runs through a lot of your product. So when you guys launched Spinballs, it sounds like you did not have much background in manufacturing and distribution, sales of product. What kind of hurdles did you overcome early on in the process? And I'm curious, was there anything about the industry that surprised you when you stepped into the toy industry proper?
Well, I could tell you from my background, my background's more sales and marketing. That's my degree's in marketing. I was in the pharmaceutical industry for about 20 years. I was a rep and a manager. So I got to see high level marketing happening, sales and marketing, you know, at a really good level. So I learned a lot from that experience. And then Jimmy comes from more, my business partner comes more from a technical background. He's more a physics major and was doing high-end automation for homes for millionaires and billionaires around the world. And so he's really, the two of us are yin and yang, which is fantastic. We've learned that that's really necessary when you're building a business. It's like, if everybody just does what I say, that's a problem. And he's very good at figuring out what problems are about to hit us. So that's been a great partnership that we've had. So thinking of specifically to the toy industry, as we started with Spinballs and, you know, we went to a local store. I went to one of my local Learning Express stores, actually, and the local owners gave us a shot to put it in there and it did well. And then Learning Express was nice enough to expand that out to some of their stores. It did well. And as I was working with some of their leadership, one of them had recommended, why don't you guys go to Toy Fair? And at the time I was thinking, you know, we're not ready for that. But also if I don't go right now, as it was coming up, it was like, that's a whole nother year. We might as well just do it. So we did.
Yep.
And then there at that point, we learned that while we were at Toy Fair, we learned about Astra and all these other things that we had no ideas about. Who knew there were reps that can call on toy stores all over the place on your behalf? I was like, I didn't really quite understand that at the time going into it, that there were the independent rep groups that are the lifeblood of what we do. So critical in getting into the stores and getting that first shot. And that was definitely surprising, just the infrastructure and the fact that there are things that are available to a company like us that was getting started, that gave us a chance to have, you know, distribution and get on the radar and little by little grow as we have.
That's right. Yeah, I think Learning Express has been a really great partner for you. That's where I've seen most of your product, and they do a really great job of displaying it, demonstrating it, and just having it in really accessible parts of their store where a customer could walk in having no idea what the product is, and they automatically get it, whether it's through video or the display or live demonstration. So let's talk a little bit about your decision early on to include video monitors in your displays to allow people to see Spinballs in action, Wandini in action. How important is that to your business? Why do you think that moves product?
I'd say for us, it's critical because all of our products are so visual and demonstrable. And even at that first toy fair, really, we knew once we realized that the TV ad that we had done and we were going to kind of take this back and do it ourselves, we realized, well, we either need to do TV, which we tried and these days isn't as effective as we all probably know. But then we were like, well, if we're going to put it in the stores, and we would tell buyers as they'd come to us at our booth, like, if you put a box of Spinballs on a shelf, it's probably not going to sell so well. But if you have the video that can show what's possible, because it could do so much until you see what it can do, that's when it sells itself. So for us, it was critical. And I feel like, blessing or a curse, however you want to look at it, we're kind of stuck with a lot of that. And most of our products are that way. There's so much you could do with them that just looking at it on the shelf, on the packaging, it's really hard to get a full understanding of what's possible with that. So thankfully, the video displays have been very, very helpful for that. But we're also trying to find ways so we're not pigeonholed and stuck, because how do you grow from there if you're always going to have to? Not everybody has an outlet. There's only so many outlets. And the more we can get away from that, the better for us. So we're constantly trying to find new packaging, new ways to kind of get the word or put the message out there without having to rely on it all the time.
That's great perspective. And your products encourage that kind of body movement that is, you know, it's fun to watch Wandini. It's fun to watch Spinballs. Why is that important to you? It sounds like that's really at the heart of when you launched your business, that was really at the heart of what you were thinking a great product was and could be. And you were right. Why is that important?
Well, the body movement, and as I said, it was kind of a mission. Jimmy and I both felt that there were these physical mental benefits that I talked about. And we've been really lucky is that each of these other products that have come along have a bit of that to them in some form or fashion. They have physical mental benefits. So some of them are, like you said, Wandini, Spinballs, juggling balls, LED juggling balls, which has a lot of research behind it saying that it's very good for brain function and just connecting, you know, connections in the brain. There's a lot of research. And that's something that with my background in pharmaceutical, I'm aware of research and doing clinical research. And that's actually something that's on our radar, is to do more of that, because a lot of our products, we get feedback where people say, like, for example, Shishibo is a great example of this. We'll get a lot of emails. My son or daughter who has autism or ADD, ADHD, or my grandmother with Alzheimer's. We literally get emails talking about the benefits, and we can't claim that because, you know, you don't have the clinical research to do it. But what if we did? You know, I feel like that's an amazing thing. We've talked to and worked with physical therapists, occupational therapists have come to us even at Toy Fair and other trade shows, and they tell us how they love it or they see the potential for it. So we'd love to go down that avenue. It's one of those rabbit holes we really want to get into. It's just there's so many rabbit holes and we can't do them all at once.
Yeah. Right. But real benefits from playing with the product. And I see that also in Shishibo. So at any given time in our house, whether it's in the car or walking from room to room, you are likely to hear this light click, clack, snap. And what's happening there is somebody in the family has picked up a Shishibo and they're manipulating it and they're changing the shape. And what started as a cube has now turned into this beautiful, like, spherical octagon, has then turned into this beautiful star shape. And you look at this and it's really hard to describe. As I prepared for this podcast, Kevin, I was like, how am I going to describe to the audience Shishibo? So I'm going to leave that to you. But this is a beautiful product, and it just really is fascinating to see what can be done when you unpack a cube. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, most commonly what we get is people think of just the most common cube people think of is the Rubik's Cube. So they're like, oh, it's like a Rubik's Cube. And it's not. It's quite different because the Rubik's Cube, as awesome as that is, I was never good at it. But it's like that's more of a random puzzle, although there are algorithms and you can learn how to do it and so forth. But the thing with Shishibo is it's not really a random puzzle. It's like you can eventually, if you play with it enough and you explore it, you're going to figure out the pattern to go from a cube to a ball and back, etc. It's just memorization after you've done it enough. It's like you can figure that out. So that's the first challenge or the first fun part of it is you get to know which shapes you can do with one. And then what typically happens through that creative exploration is you're going to find you can take two stars and put those together, or put the ball inside the star, or the ball and cube inside the ball. And that's two of them. But what happens when you have four? Now you can take four stars and it creates this beautiful sculpture. And what happens when you have 20 or 100 of them? Now it's like there's amazing, crazy things that happen because they're magnetic, 36 rare earth magnets, which hold them together. And it just makes it so unique. So it's got a lot of, it's really hits all the STEM and STEAM. So you've got the science of the magnetic polarity. There are times where the polarity will repel and sometimes it'll attract. For the most part, it attracts. You have the geometry, mathematical geometry, which is what it's based on. There's a lot of shapes and so forth that is explained. So it's a geometric transforming puzzle, if you will. Plus the magnetism. We have the art, there's symmetry in it. So we work with artists. We've had artists reach out to us because they see this as a new medium for artists. In fact, one of the artists we started with was Lawrence Gartell, who's the pioneer of digital art. He worked with Andy Warhol, created digital art. He really is. So he came out with a new medium, which was digital art. And now he's involved with us in a new medium, which is Shishibo, essentially. And we have artists reaching out to us, wanting to work on things, collaborate on that. So it's wonderful. And, you know, there's not really the technology side of STEAM because we're trying to get kids off of screens. And it kind of, that's one of the nice things is it's not the technology. Although we do have an app, a free app that shows them all the possibilities and a lot of things to help them go. But then you have the architectural building construction that's, you know, in STEAM. So there you go.
No, that's great. That's great. You know, one of the things that I remember hearing, goodness, this is probably 300 episodes on the show, Dan Klitzner, fantastic inventor of Bop It. We just had a wonderful conversation and I'll never forget him mentioning he looks for products and loves products where the player is moving around the product. So think about it, Bop It. You're moving around the product. He was involved in Perplexus, the spherical maze toy, which was just fantastic. And that's a lot of what I see with Shishibo. You're just constantly manipulating and moving around Shishibo, which just has... It's visual, it's tactile, it's got so much going for it. And now you've turned it into a game. So I'm curious, as you take this great product and you think about, well, let's expand this into a different category. What's the thought process there for creating battle shapes and how did that develop?
Well, as we're getting ready to go out to Toy Fair soon, we're up for three Toy Toddies this year, actually. And that one of them is the game Battle Shapes. The other two are Shishibo in the collectible and also in the specialty category. So we're really excited. That's our kind of a good thing. But with the game, what was there is just we see the potential for competition. It's kind of like, you know, Rubik's Cube does have competitions in solving. This is different. It's what you're solving is you're finding the shapes. And what we'll see is sometimes, like even on our team and people around, they'll go from the cube, which it starts as, all the way out to the ball, which is the complete inverse of the product, all the way back to the cube. And how fast can you do that? So that's always been something we've played with. And it's down in the 3 to 4 second range, which I think is about where the Rubik's Cube solving ends up. Wow. Around that same. So it's fun to watch. And so that in itself could be a competition, but that seems like there's so much more you can get out of this. So the idea behind Battle Shapes is we have a deck of cards that show different shapes and they're all valued at different amounts. Some are harder to get to than others. So depending on the shape that you flip and you see, you flip a coin, you're either playing head to head with somebody or you're playing against the timer in that round. And there's a little bell if it's against the timer, you hit the bell if it's head to head, or you just, you know, you see the timer when it runs out. But what's really cool about it is there's QR codes on each card. So if you don't know how to get to that shape, it's actually instructional. So it helps you to figure out from a video, a quick little video, how to get to that shape. And now you can learn and you can start with the easiest shapes and expand the deck, you know, just take half of the deck or part of the deck as you only know that much and expand it as you go. So we just see it as a great opportunity to really maximize people's understanding. And it just seemed like it makes perfect sense for us. So anyway.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect head-to-head competition, you know, and you get two Shishibo in the box, which is great. I'm curious, you know, one of the things that we love about Shishibo around here and why we buy so many of them is that an extra Shishibo in your collection opens up the possibility of brand new shapes. Not only do Shishibos change shapes within themselves, they're also connectable. And so you can start building these geometric shapes bigger and bigger and bigger and more complex. What are some of the memorable things you've heard from your customers? What's the biggest Shishibo ball ever built? Is there a Guinness Book of World Records for that? What are your customers sending you as far as what they're doing with your product?
Wow, that's a great question. Actually, we are... looking at that, you know, the Guinness Book of World Records is something that's been on our mind as far as, you know, the speed and also the larger structures. All those things are potential opportunities for sure. We have people who are, again, this is for all ages. So we have engineers from Mercedes that have reached out to us and said, you know, they have, and it's not unusual for somebody to have 100 or more Shishibo in their building because they look at the possibilities of the geometry. Right. And they're like, if I have 16 of one design, I can make like this, that's kind of the sweet magical, you know, geometric number. I can make this structure. But if I have multiples and then they're adding all those together, and it's just like, it's beyond anything I know. I'm not the strong geometric mathematician. That's Andreas, the inventor. I give him credit, but he's a friend, and it's been great, but it's amazing to watch. And we call it collect and connect. So we have the magnetism. Yes. So that's the idea behind it, is it's a collectible, which has been great. People collect the different designs and then they can build with it. So it's a useful collectible. It's not hopefully collecting dust and like a figurine or something, you know, but we're now starting to branch out more into the licensing, which is fairly new to us. Like, we did a license with Warner Brothers Music for the Grateful Dead, because again, it's all ages. So we found a lot of people reaching out, and Andreas, the inventor, had a connection there with the family. Actually, he lives in Venice, California. So there you go. And also recently with Paramount, we have the Ninja Turtle, Mutant Mayhem. We have SpongeBob. We have Avatar Airbender. Those are all ones that we were really interested in. So those are coming out as we speak. We'll have them at Toy Fair to show. And we're going to go down that path because I think it's a great medium for what we can do with art is amazing. Because, for example, with Grateful Dead, we went so deep into their library that they gave us access to that they had to actually apologize and say, hey, we don't own that. That's owned by, you know, the family of Jerry Garcia and so forth, because nobody's ever pushed it. They just put the most common logo on a T-shirt or mug and they're done. With us, we're putting art of all kinds because it looks so beautiful when you could do that. So,
well, that's the other element of Shishiba, is that it's part puzzle, and it doesn't hit you until like, for example, we have the one where you when you create the hexagonal sphere, it has an earth printed on it. So you've got the continents and the ocean printed on it, but you don't necessarily put all that together in your brain before it clicks. And you're like, oh, I'm holding a globe here. So it's really cool to see those pictures come together in three dimensions. And you heard it here first, guys, 16 is the maximal number. So go out, collect all 16. build the most massive Shishibo creation ever, and really excited to see what you can do with the Guinness Book of World Records. I'd love to see that. Maybe at a toy fair someday we can see the Guinness Book of World Records Shishibo built. So Kevin, this is great, but you've got some new product that is really, really exciting that's going to be released at Toy Fair this year. Tell us about your new product and the future of the company. Some really cool stuff coming down the pipe.
Yeah, well, related to Shishibo, we have other variations that are coming out. One you mentioned earlier, Cubendi, was the most recent. So it's similar to a Shishibo. It's not compatible, but it has similar features and just completely different geometry, which is amazing. And then we have Duomoto, which is launching at Toy Fair, which actually breaks apart into two pieces. You can manipulate that, bring it back together. And that's completely different experiences, very similar. But each of them is so different and awesome. It's like, it's hard to judge which one we like the best. I mean, Shishibo is kind of like the 3x3 Rubik's. It's really the foundation of the product line. But and just like there's the Rubik's Pyramid and Snake, et cetera. So it's the most common comparison is we'll have these other ones, which we think are amazing, but Shishibo probably, with all the crazy geometry it does, will likely be the foundational product down the line. But unrelated to Shishibo and other variations down the line, we have multiple. Now that we're growing as a company, we have a lot of different inventors who are coming our way, plus products we're developing ourselves. So what you'll see at Toy Fair is we're going to introduce three new products. One is called TechD, which is, I don't know how much time we have to go into the details of it, but I'll mention it. TechD is you build it. We call it a confluxion product. So you can build the pieces. There are these hinge tiles and single tiles. And depending on how you assemble it, you can make these kinetic sculptures, and you can make over 40 different sculptures with a kit. And you can actually use more than one kit to make bigger structures. So it's a really cool item, very visual. An inventor out of Sweden who we work with, who's a professional juggler. He's somebody who we know through our circle of friends. We juggle, we do all kinds of crazy stuff, fire perform. That's part of what we do that fits in with our craziness at Toy Fair and what we do. The other one is called Hyper Tiles, which is a really cool thing. You put them together. They're these parabolas, hyperbolic parabolas, not a word I would ever have said prior to this, but it looks like a Pringles chip, but it's these triangular shapes and you put them together with these connectors. And depending on how you assemble those, you can make static shapes or you can make kinetic shapes. And it was invented by a teacher who had retired after 30 plus years of teaching math. And he just really came out with an amazing product that has a lot of potential, fits perfectly in our line. And we have that to show at Toy Fair. And the last one is called Knuckles. And that is already assembled, but it's these, you know, people compare it to like a Hoberman sphere in that it has a similar feel, but it's different in that instead of just opening and closing, you can actually adjust these different arms or legs of them that allow it to make different shapes. So it's kind of each of these products, there's five different in the line of Knuckles, and it's an inventor who's been, you know, had a lot of success in the past. So it's extremely exciting to be working with them. And that's a product that you'll see at Toy Fair. So Knuckles will be available soon as well.
That is great. You guys always have a very fun Toy Fair booth, create a great experience. And it sounds like you're just going to be having a lot of fun with these new products. You know, again, fun in motion, and all of your products just have that feel of you're moving around them, you're manipulating them, you're building new things, and super, super visually appealing. So really, really looking forward to seeing those. Kevin, this has been a really fun conversation. How can people reach out to you, reach out to Fun in Motion, find out more, find out about these new products, buy products? How would you like them to connect?
Well, you can get in touch with us directly, funinmotiontoys.com, obviously. You'll see us at Toy Fair if you have a rep group, depending on who's hearing this, but certainly go through your local rep group and you can reach out. I'm Kevin at Fun in Motion Toys, or info@funinmotiontoys.com. And what else? I think that's kind of the easiest ways these days. Social media, certainly we're represented on social media. We'd love to hear from people.
Perfect. Just listen for that click, clack, snap. You're sure to find Fun in Motion. Kevin, this has been a ton of fun. Thanks for coming on and sharing, and best of luck at Toy Fair. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you for tuning in to the Power Kid podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Leave 5 stars and a written review, as this helps us connect with more listeners just like you. Once you're subscribed, you'll be able to check out the other shows from Adventure Media and Events. And a big thank you to them. They are the publishers of the Toy Book, the Toy Insider, and the Pop Insider. We've got you covered on all toy industry news and events. This show is produced by Power Kid Design and Development. We are a full-service toy and game development studio serving the industry for more than 20 years. We provide illustration, branding, packaging, sculpting, prototyping, consulting, and much more. Check out powerkiddesign.com or email me at phil@powerkiddesign.com. Now go out and make something great, and remember, you are creative because you were created. God bless, and I'll see you next episode.